You are listening to The Weekend Chapter on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It is still The Weekend Chapter right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. And of course, around this time, as per tradition, this year we are centering mostly on your health. And of course, we've got our man, Dr. Charles Hleza, coming through to give us so many insights as far as different topics that are health related are concerned. So of course he is on the line as usual, and tonight he's got a very interesting one that we're going to be discussing. That is the topic that is mental survival. Okay, so it's something that probably you're wondering, what is that? And I'm sure Mr. Dr. Charles Hleza, he's actually here to lay everything bare so that we get to know so much about mental survival. Of course, of late, so many things being talked about as far as the issue of mental health is concerned. So Dr. here is here to give us more insight on this subject. All right. So mental survival, Doc, I think we've heard so many aspects of the whole mental health subject. But to me personally, maybe as well as our listeners, mental survival is pretty new. So I guess you can start by defining it. What is mental survival?
Okay, thank you. Mental survival, or rather a survivor mentality, is a frame of mind that promotes self-empowerment and a person's ability to overcome a stressful event or stress trigger. That is, focusing on the ability to survive rather than being a victim, which can help prevail over life's challenges instead of being held back or defined by them. So here we are looking at the ability to survive a mental crisis, which is best to do so through the mind of Christ. So this is what mental survival is. The human body is created by God with the ability to be able to survive a crisis, or when a challenge or danger arises, the body gets into a survival mode and seeking to overcome whatever challenge it may be facing so that the body won't die.
All right. Is it the same with mental resilience, Doc?
Okay. So mental resilience is the post-survival aspect where one has survived the mental stress or the mental trigger or the traumatic trigger event. We're talking about that particular event. One has gone past it. What we are saying here is that the event occurred today at 3 p.m. in the afternoon on 10 January. So how one managed to go through that event at that particular moment, that's mental survival. And that is determined by how the person has been living in the past. It's informed by the kind of beliefs they have, the kind of food they've been eating, whether they've been exercising or not, whether they've been having adequate rest or not. So that determines whether they're going to have a mental hit or not. Then the resilience aspect is, post that event, was the person able to continue living their life despite this particular challenge? That is the ability to be able to continue with life despite this particular stressor or a challenge that one went through at that particular given moment where the event of the stressor trigger was pregnancy. That child can be born with a brain that is a bit smaller in size, or what we call maybe brain shrink. So, and that indicates that that child, as they begin to grow, they can begin to have challenges of childhood trauma where they are not able to manage stressful events simply because the brain was deprived of the oxygen that it needs when the baby was developing, as well as other nutrients, which are then become less bioavailable as a result of these toxic substances that are being taken. On the other end, a mother who focuses on good health practices during that particular period of time of pregnancy, say exposure to adequate oxygen, taking in omega-3 fatty acids as are found in seeds and nuts, and also some other vegetables, also taking in polyphenols, which are nutrients that are found in most legumes, which build good brain, you'll find that this child will have a high intellectual capacity as well as high emotional stability as far as the process is concerned that is related to the function of the brain, because the foundation that has been set has been good. Though that does not make that child immune as it grows into adulthood to succumb into mental health challenges. So simply put, we can think of it like a computer. When one buys a computer, it comes with mainly the hardware part as we look at it. But if, say, one wants to do designing of flyers, etc., they need to put CorelDRAW onto the system. So here we are looking at the hardware system. If it has got a big memory and is of good quality, it will be able to sustain the software. So we are looking at someone who is born with good hardware. That is to say, the brain is well developed, has been given the right nutrients it needs. And also, as the child is developing in the mother's womb as a fetus, the environment is conducive to emotional development. There is love in the home. There is less of domestic violence is concerned. So this child becomes a happy child. By the time the child is born, you realize that this child is a happy child. And generally, happy children produce more of happy hormones, and they are more likely to overcome when it comes to a mental crisis. So when it comes to this aspect of our early days of life, it's very important to note that that plays a special role when it comes to mental survival in the future. But I want to read from the book Ministry of Healing while it's closing on this one. On page 241, it says here, the relation that exists between the mind and the body is very intimate. When one is affected, the other sympathizes. The condition of the mind affects the health to a far greater degree than many realize. Many of the diseases from which men suffer are the result of mental depression. Grief, anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust all tend to break down the life forces and to invite decay and death. So here we are looking at what is called the gut-brain axis, where at the end of the day, how one's digestive system, the health of the gut, influences the function of the brain, because the brain gets its nourishment from the food that would have eaten. And also, for the gut to function, it gets the information and the data how to work from the brain and the nervous system. So there's that connection, that interrelation that is there that needs to be taken note of.
Okay, so from what I'm picking up right here, Doc, seems like this mental survival, from what you've just said, is something that is built when one is still a fetus, you know, when one is still in their mother's womb. So let's say it so happened that, you know, things were not so conducive, maybe, as you were an unborn child, and things were not okay. You were not in the right environment there. So what does that mean? Does it mean that one is doomed for life, so to say?
No, that's not the case. So there is hope for people in their adulthood, because even such that have got a good foundation in their childhood, when they get into adulthood, if they do not do those things that help or practice those principles that help them to have good mental survival skills, they are still going to succumb. So we also have noted over the years, as far as observation is concerned in scientific literature, that if one becomes aware that the brain functions more on complex carbohydrates, we are looking at vitamin B complexes, etc., as well, and also essential fatty acids, which are different fats that are good for repairing of dead brain cells. You find that someone who is conscious about that will be able to have a high emotional stability as far as their health is concerned in relation to the thought process which happens as far as in the brain is concerned as a physical organ. So here we are looking at, if one chooses to say that, though I am now an adult, instead of just choosing fast sugars, or rather choosing fast foods that have got a high glycemic index. I'm going to choose foods that have got complex carbohydrates, that have got also vitamin B complexes, where the brain now functions on those particular kind of nutrients and sources of carbohydrates. They are likely not to have more of what are called mental hits, or maybe what most people would say, maybe in a street language, short circuiting. And then at the same time, when one gets the right fats, if they could come from, say, avocados, they come from sesame seeds, they come from nuts, such as amarula nuts, that is the essential fatty acids, as well as the polyphenols, as I mentioned before, which come from legumes. They then help to have a good brain foundation. And the vitamin B complexes help to have a good nervous system network. But as I said before, this then does not make one immune. There is also the aspect of the spirituality, whether one have got a strong trust in God as far as their devotional life is concerned. For we learn that from the book of Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he whose mind is perfectly set in Christ, or set in God, God will give that particular person peace of mind that surpasses all understanding. So there are all these aspects that one can begin to implement in their old age, or maybe when they get into adulthood, that can help them, that can help their brain not to quickly succumb to pressure or to sustain to overload.
All right, so you touched on the spiritual side, and you also touched on the fact that one has to eat right in order to build this mental survival. So what if somebody is not really that spiritually strong? Okay, yes, you know, it just so happens they're not spiritually strong, and also they haven't gotten a hold of, should we say, the health reform so that they can eat right. So apart from those two, what else can one do, you know, in order for them to build this mental survival that is so much needed?
Okay, let's look at maybe an example here. When you're looking at Judas Iscariot, during his time working with Christ, he himself thought that he's going probably to become the next maybe finance minister as far as the government of Jesus, which they were mistaken to think that he's going to establish a government here on earth. So when he sold Jesus Christ with 30 pieces of silver, he thought to himself that Jesus, this is now coming from Desire of Ages, paraphrased, he thought to himself that he's just going to, you know, do as he did before. Jesus Christ is just going to work a miracle and free himself from whatever imprisonment that might come, or danger that might come to him as a result of giving over to the Roman soldiers, as well as to the high priest of that particular era and time. But we find that did not happen, and Judas secluded himself from the other disciples and from other people, unlike what Peter did. Peter remained in the circle to see what was happening to Jesus, but Judas secluded himself. And as a result of that, he got into a point where he became remorseful, he blamed himself, and he was weighed with guilt. Unlike Peter, Peter looked at Jesus Christ when the cock crowed, and he realized that indeed I thought I was going to be with Jesus and stand with him to the end, but I have failed. But when he saw the smile on Jesus, he realized that there's hope for him. And unlike Judas, who secluded and separated himself from Christ, we learn that later on he hanged himself. So here what we learn is the importance of social connection. So when someone is going through this particular traumatic event, or it could be a stress or a trigger, it's important to have that social support, to be able to share with someone. That is called catharsis. Catharsis is a process of relieving oneself of a burden. Say, for example, when someone is stressed and they don't know what to do, usually people take this deep breath and they say, you know, and they can do that several times. And as they're doing this, they're actually allowing a lot of oxygen to go to the brain unbeknown to them in an automatic response to the body, to the body's needs of more oxygen to the brain to be able to think clearly. So social connection helps with that as well. When someone finds someone they can confide in what they're going through. And actually there's this common saying that a problem shared is a problem half solved. So by sharing, one is actually placing themselves in an environment where they can actually probably learn from someone how they managed to go through it in the past. And they also relieve themselves of the pressure and tension that they may have. So that's one area. Social connection is very important. And then another example that we can look at is looking at Elijah. So you find that no matter how once well spiritually connected they are, or no matter how high their level of spiritual awareness is, like I said in the beginning, that does not mean that they are immune to having a mental crisis or a mental challenge. And we find here Elijah, a man of God who prayed and there was no rain for 3 years. But when he's faced with the threat that came from the queen, and at that time, he actually ran away from Ahab's wife. And when the wife threatened that if what he has done to the prophets of Baal by sunset does not happen to him, that is to mean if he's not going to be killed, the queen would not have proven herself to be queen. That is Jezebel. So here we find that Elijah ran away. He ran for his life. When he ran for his life, we also contrast, before he ran for his life, the previous day, he had slain the prophets of Baal. He had put actually an altar and put water there and prayed to God. And actually a flame of fire had come and consumed the offering and the stones and the water as well. But apart from this, here comes a threat. And would think that, I know this is a man of God, he's going to just sail through. But rather he ran for his life, got into a cave, and then he said, God, it is better that I die than I live. I'm not better than any that have come before me. And we find that in that period of time, he had not realized that there was something that he needed. What he needed was rest, physical rest from all that he had gone through, as well as spiritual rest. When I'm talking about spiritual rest, I'm not saying there should be times we disconnect from God, but realize that when we find time to rest physically, what we actually do by so doing, we create more space to be able to connect with God. So we find Elijah, that is 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. We find Elijah in a cave, and at that particular moment, God speaking to him, because he had used up most of his energy, used up most of his storages of nutrients in his body, and he had used up most of the water. He was dehydrated. So these factors contribute either to how one is going to manage when a mental crisis comes or not. And God wakes him up and says, there's a cruse of water, drink some water. And there's a cake, that there is food, there are carbohydrates, there are nutrients to help your brain to restore and to be able to function as it should. And afterwards, he was asked to go back to sleep again. So you find that this aspect of rest is very important. There are people that do not have physical rest, that actually work 24 hours sometimes, 7 days in a week, from night duty to day duty, and just a little bit of sleep. That can cause actually someone to be in a position where their mental survival rate becomes very low. So rest is very important when it comes to surviving a mental crisis.
Mm. Very interesting right there, Doc. Some very, very interesting aspects of this subject that are coming through. The issue of support and also the issue of rest. And hopefully that we're getting that, and we are hearing that we really do need that in the face of danger and things like that. We need to make sure that we have all these support structures in place. All right. So I guess, Doc, are there any, should we say, red flags or warning signs actually that can show you as an individual that, you know what, maybe you've got a low mental survival rate? I don't know if I can structure it that way.
Okay. Yeah. So if one finds themselves fatigued or continually in a state of burnout, that can be an indication that should they come across a mental crisis, they are likely not to be able to make it through because their energies are low and they are at a point of their lowest as far as physical capacity is concerned. So even when it comes to those four stress response that I mentioned in the first, they may not be able to respond well. So fatigue and burnout can be an indication that one can be in danger. And also, if someone at work or during daytime, they are continually dozing off or not being able to keep up awake, their eyes automatically just shut and they just find themselves snoring during daytime, that can be an indication that someone has got an impending mental survival challenge that can happen to them should they face a mental crisis. And also if someone continually have got burst out, they have not been doing this in the past, but they just begin to lash out. They just begin to burst out. And after that, they can begin to look back at themselves and maybe even cry to say, but why did I do that? I had no intentions of doing that. That can be an indication that as far as mental survival is concerned, they have not mastered the techniques of how to relate to others and how to be in a position where should a crisis arise, they've got the emotional intelligence to be able to go through that particular challenge. Also, when someone finds it difficult to remember things, that is memory loss. Or apart from memory loss, it could be intellectual capacity to be able to calculate things and remember things as they used to do. One can begin to, you know, that's a light bulb to say, is it well with me? Am I missing something in my life? Am I getting adequate hydration, that is water? Am I getting adequate oxygen for my brain? For that is what gives the brain the spark to be able to function. Am I getting adequate the complex carbohydrates and the complex vitamin B complexes that are needed for the brain? Also, when they just begin to have disinterest in the things they used to like in the past, disinterested in life, they have got no drive for achieving anything in life. They withdraw from society, which probably was not what they used to be known in the past. It was someone who was outgoing, and all of a sudden they disassociate themselves from community and from social events. So those could be some of the highlighters that indicate. But at the same time, that does not then equate to that particular challenge of a lack of mental survival ability. There could be some other parameters to explore as well.
All right. No, that's deep. That's deep. So is there hope, Doc, for someone who is in this state? Let's say all those things that you've said, someone is actually ticking all the boxes and like, that's me. That's what the doctor is talking about. Is there a comeback when you are in this particular state and you realize that your mental survival is at its lowest, or you probably have none? So do you come back from this, and how do you do that?
Yeah, one can be able to come back from that because there is hope for any situation that one can face in this world. They can go for Christian mental counseling, so that they're at a point where they can actually be able to view whatever they're going through at its truest sense of what it is. They can also seek for psychiatric help so as to be able to get the, it could be the medication that can help them to go through that. And they can also begin to practice the different modalities that I've mentioned in the past that have got to do with hydration, that have got to do with adequate exposure to sunlight, that can actually help them to be on the sunshine side of life. Also, another aspect that they can explore into is thinking positively. Someone who hopes for the better. Someone who, though they are going through this particular challenge today, they hope that something better is going to come. When we look in the book, The Steps to Christ, there's a vision there that Ellen White was shown and recorded of a sister that wrote to her and said to her that I am going through quite a lot of mental strain and stress in my life. And while Ellen White is opening this letter and reading it out, she was taken in a vision. And in this particular vision, she was shown herself and this sister walking through a garden. And through this garden, there was a guide that was taking them through the garden, showing them the pathway in which to walk. But this particular sister, all of a sudden, that had written to Sister Ellen White, she began to say, is it not a pity that this garden is laden with briars and thorns? And of course, Ellen White was not in that particular pathway. This sister had taken another pathway where there were thorns and briars. And the response in that particular vision that Ellen White gave to this sister is, let the thorns and the briars alone, for they will only wound you, but rather pick the roses, the pinks, and the lilies. So what we pick from this is that it is important to have a positive mindset or a positive attitude. That some people say, for example, there's what is called 40 thinking patterns. There are actually 15 of them, or more than that, 40 thinking patterns. Another thinking pattern that one can avoid is an all or nothing thinking pattern, where at the end of the day, one just focuses on either I'm getting everything, a full loaf of bread, and there's no half loaf of bread. That person is in a position where they do not accept anything that helped them to develop further or allow themselves to make mistakes and grow and learn from them to become a better person. So at the end of the day, being aware of oneself, which is called self-concept, to be able to know what temperament am I and what am I supposed to be aware of and what can I do to be able to have the mind of Christ. And in this particular example that I've given, one who focuses on the good things happening in their life, having a journal where they can write the blessings and the good things that have happened to them can actually help them to be able to manage and overcome a mental crisis when it comes through. So this is one way that that an individual can make use of to be able to overcome a mental crisis.
So do you want to have anything to say as we close off the program?
Sure. I just want to close off with the book Ministry of Healing, where I was reading Ministry of Healing, page 244. It says, courage, hope, faith, sympathy, love promote health and prolong life. A contented mind, a cheerful spirit is a health to the body and strength to the soul. A merry, rejoicing heart doeth good like a medicine. So if there is anything that you may want to foster in the year 2024, is to have courage, is to be hopeful, is to have faith, and is to be sympathetic towards other people, seeking to help them, and is to love that will promote health and prolong life. Be someone that has got a contented mind and who's got a cheerful spirit that will enable you to be able to have a high percentage of surviving a mental crisis when it comes.
Mm. Thank you so much, Doc, for those beautiful words, and thank you for shedding some light into this particular topic that is very, very interesting, and looking at the issue of mental health from a different perspective. Of course, we're talking about mental survival tonight, so which leads me to thank you, Dr. Charles Schleser, for coming through to the program. Thank you so much, Doc, for coming.
You're most welcome. Have a blessed day as well as a bright 2024 ahead of you.
Amen and amen. So stay with us right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. It is still the Weekend Chapter.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.